Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Yud Ches, and we are about 15 lines from the bottom of daf Yud Zayin Omid Beis, the very last Gemara of the first perek of Masechta Sanhedrin. So the Mishnah concluded with giving us the makar to the Sanhedrin Agadol, Machlokes Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, 71. According to Rav Yehuda, 70. It comes from a pasuk in Parashas Baleischa, Esfali Shivim Ish. Mizikne Yisrael. The question was, is it 70 in addition to Moshe? Or perhaps Moshe wasn't a member of the Sanhedrin, as difficult as that may seem to comprehend. But there is a tzad in the Gemara that maybe Moshe wasn't a member of the Sanhedrin, and as a result, it's the Shivim Zikanin, and Moshe is not included in that. That was the Sanhedrin HaGadol. But in addition to there being a Sanhedrin HaGadol, there was also a Sanhedrin HaKatan. We're going to see in today's Gemara that not every city qualified to have this smaller Sanhedrin, but assuming a city met certain criteria, they had the ability and perhaps the obligation to set up a smaller Sanhedrin. That Sanhedrin wasn't made up of 70 or 71 members. That Sanhedrin was smaller. It was made up of 23 members. And the Mishnah gave us the Makar, last Gemara, the previous daf, where exactly we know 23. It says v'hitzilu ha'eda, eda's 10. V'shaftu ha'eda, eda's another 10. We know the idea that you don't go basarov l'ra unless there are two more saying ra than are saying toiv. So if you have 10 being mechayev and 10 being mezaka, and you have to have the ability to have a roiv of two saying chayiv, it means at the very least there has to be 22. Ein bezdin shakol, it can never be an even number. That's how you end up with 23. But at the very end of the Mishnah, there was a machlokes tanoim. How big a city has to be? What's the minimum size that a city would have to be in order for it to be ra'ui to have this Sanhedrin hakotam? So the Mishnah said, v'kam yehi ba'ir v'tei ru'i l'Sanhedrin, me'a v'esr, 120. So if a city has 120 members, small population, but if there's a population of 120, now it's ru'uya for there to be a Sanhedrin kitana. If there were less than 120 members, you can't have a Sanhedrin. Rav Nechemya said it has to be a little bigger than that. It would have to be 230. We'll see in the Gemara there's going to be a third and a fourth sheet as well. So says the Gemara, v'kama yehi b'yevei ru'la Sanhedrin, me'e v'esrim. The first opinion of the Mishnah was that how large or small does a city have to be in order for it to be ru'uya to have this Sanhedrin? 120 members. Says the Gemara, me'e v'esrim. What's the methodology? It's not a random number. 120. A hindert in Svansik. Where does that number come from? Says the Gemara, Esrim v'shloisha k'neged Sanhedrin k'tana. You need 23 members in the city because they themselves are going to be the Sanhedrin. V'sholoi shurois shel esrim v'shloisha hare tishim v'tarti. Rashi, quoting a Gemara later, says that we're going to see that when the Sanhedrin HaKotan would sit, the 23 members, there had to be another three rows. Each row had another 23 people that weren't members of the Sanhedrin, but they were technically ro'i to be members of the Sanhedrin. They were there for backup, so it's a lot of backup, 3-to-1 ratio. But there were three shurois of backups, again discussed in greater detail in Gemaras later, so that if you need the 23 of the Sanhedrin, plus the three rows of backup, it's 23 times 4, that's 92. Vasara batalonim, a good city has to have at least 10 batalonim, which meant not what we think it means, Mishnah, Masechtas, Megillah, but these were 10 people whose job was to be batalonim, not from learning Torah, but batalonim from working. Rather, what they did was they sat in the base of Knesset all day, and their job was to the contrary, to learn Torah. So the city would have to have at least these 10 batlonim, hare, me'e v'tre'e. So the Gemara is helping us with the math. So 92 plus 10, that's 102. V'shnei soifrim, you have to have two scribes. V'shnei chazonim, there have to be two chazonim, two shamoshim that worked in Bezdin. V'shnei balidinim, you have to have at least two people to stand in front of this elaborate Bezdin. So you have this fancy schmancy Bezdin. You have 22 dayonim, plus you have two shamashim, and you have two stenographers, so somebody has to be there. So you have another two. Vishnei Eidim, you have to have two Eidim. Vishnei Zoymimin, you need Eidim Sh'atiyochel Azima. So there have to be at least two people that could be Eidim Zoymimin. Vishnei Zoymimin Zoymimin, and you need at least two people that could be Mazim, the Mazimim. So it's another 12. Hare Meyavar Besar. So you have 102 plus these 12, you end up with 114. Okay, but we still don't have 120. The Gemara's not finished. Vitanya, we learned in the Brisa, Kol Lishim Ba. Any city that doesn't have the following things, a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in that city. What are those things? Bezdin Makim Va'inchen. A Bezdin that gives Malkus Dairaisa, and they give Makas Mardus the Rabbanon. So a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in a city where there's no Bezdin that gives Malkus. Vekupa Shal Tzedakah. Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in a city if there's no Kupa Shal Tzedakah, that's Nigves Bishnayim, that has two people that are in charge of collecting the money, Umischalekas Bishloish, and has another three people, a different three people, that are in charge of distributing the money. Ubeis HaKnesses, Ubeis HaMerchitz, Ubeis HaKiseh. Additionally, a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in a city if there's no Roife, there's no doctor, an Umin, that's a bloodletter, very common back in the day, V'lavler, a Seifer, V'tabach, and a Sheichet, U'melamit Tinaikis, and a Reb, Shum Rebbe Kiva, Amr Rebbe Kiva said, Af Mine Peira. A Talmud Chacham is also not allowed to live in a city with there are no peiros, because they're good for the eyes. So the bottom line is, a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in a city that doesn't have those things. Now, the ones that are relevant to us is you need a kupa shel tzedakah that has two people that are in charge, two gaboi tzedakah to collect the money, that's two. Another three gaboi tzedakah to distribute the money, that's five. And Rashi says, the other jobs that were mentioned, doctor, bloodletter, seifer, butcher, and a Rebbe, that could all be one person. One person could do all those things. So you had 114, plus the five people that are involved in the tzedakah, plus the one person that can multitask. Suddenly we're multitasking. Like, you would think we could have multitasked at somewhere previously in this count of 120. But this one multitasker, that's how you end up with the number 120. So 120, number one, to set up the picture of the way the judicial system, the way the court is going to look between the Dayanim and the backup and the Balidin and the Edim and the scribes and the Zaymimin and the Zaymimin. Plus, there are certain basic things that a Talmud Chacham, these Dayanim, a Talmid Chachamim, are going to have to make sure are in the city in order for them to be able to live there. That's how the Gemara says you come up. So you would have thought the number 120 is a little more straightforward. It's a pasuk somewhere. No, it's actually a convoluted cheshbon. That's how we end up with the number 120. Rav Nechemya armed it. Rav Nechemya said the number is 230. And what was the svar of 230? He actually explained it in the Mishnah. It was very, very straightforward. It's so that each member of the Sanhedrin Ketana should be the leader of a group of 10. And Rashi said, because if you're not the leader of a group of 10, then that's not called Srara. If you don't have 10 people sitting around the table, you don't have a real job. So, counting? So you have to have at least 10. So if you're going to need 23, 230 divided by 23 is 10. That's it. You're going to come up with the number of 10. Says the Gemara, Tanya, we learned to the Brisa. Rebbe Yemi Rebbe said, Masayim v'shivim v'shiva. No, it's not 120. It's not 230, but rather it's 277. Freak the Gemara, Tanya, we learned to the Brisa. Rebbe Yemi Rebbe said, Masayim shivim v'shmoin. So before we figure out where 277 comes from, but we learned to the Brisa, it's not 277, it's actually 278. Like Kasha says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabban. So what's this 277, 278, and which Rabbi Yehuda and which Rabbanon would be the way to answer the contradiction between what number it really is? Rashi explains very nicely, based on something that the Gemara discussed in the previous daf, and that is that what happens if you have a hung jury? What happens if you have 11 people of this Bez and Shalchav Gimel saying Chayiv, 11 people say Zakai, and there's one person who says, any idea? I have no idea. So the Gemara quoted a Mishnah later, Maisif and Oich 9, they would add another two. And what if the two were also split? They would add another two. Up until you came to the number of the Sanhedrin Agadol. Once you got to the number of the Sanhedrin Agadol, at that point, you stop dividing. So says Rebbe, you know how many people you're going to need in this city. You have to have more people to be able to add in the event that somebody says, any idea? How many more people? So it's going to be the difference between either 70 and 23 or 71 and 23. If the Sanhedrin HaGadol was made up of 70, so you'd have to have the ability to add another 47. Because you have 23, you may potentially have to add another 47 to get to 70. If the Sanhedrin HaGadol was made up of 71
that you have to have the potential to add another 48. So the number, says Rebbe, really is 230 like Reb Nechemya. But he's going to add either 47 or 48, depending on whether you hold like Rebbe Yehuda the Chachamim. Thus, there's two numbers. The number is going to be 277. That's according to Rebbe Yehuda. It's going to be 278. That's according to the Chachamim. Tanu Rabbanon. One final brace on this note. The Pasuk says that Yisroi told Moshe that when you go and you find Dayanim, Zavate Sechse Mikola Am, you should find Anshe Chayil, Yireli Kim, Anshe Emes, Soine Bots, I'm reading from the side, Vesamta Aleim, and you should place Sari Alofim, Sari Meyos, Sari Chamishim, Vesari Asaris. So the Yidin, or the Dayanim, were divided into groups. There were those that were in charge over 1,000. Over 100, over 50, and over 10. Says the Gemara, how many Dayanim were there that were in charge of 1,000? 600. If there were 600,000 Yidden, 600,000 divided by 1,000 is going to be 600. Sorry, Meyos, how many were in charge of 100? 6,000. Sorei Chamishim, how many Sorei Chamishim were there? 12,000. 600,000 divided by 50 is 12,000. Sorei Asorois, how many people were there that were in charge of 10? Sheishas Ribay, 60,000. 600,000 divided by 10 is 60,000. Nimtzu Dayani Yisrael, so how many Dayani Yisrael were there? Shivas Ribay, 70,000. Vishmoinas Alavim, plus another 8,000, 78,000, Vishesh Meos, and 600. That's basic back of the envelope arithmetic. And on that note, Hadron Allah, a very geschmacka Dine Mominus. Jumps right into the second parak. Zok the Mishnah, Koyen Gadol, the Koyen Gadol. So why is there a parak right here in Masechta Sanhedrin called Parak Koyen Gadol? It's because we mentioned in the first Mishnah of the Masechta the laws of a Koyen Gadol, and how the Koyen Gadol was treated differently than an ordinary person. Koyen Gadol was anything but ordinary. Kol Adavar Agadol, Dvarav Shal Gadol, Yoviu Neilai, it had to be brought to Moshe. Moshe was b'makom the Bezdin of Ayin Aleph, and we learn from there that the Koyen Gadol was judged not by a Bezdin Shal Chav Gimel, more details to come, but he was judged by a Bezdin Shal Ayin Aleph. So we mentioned the fact that the Koyen Gadol was different, he was distinguished, he was singled out. So the Mishnah, now a whole Perek in Shas that's going to talk about some other unique halachas of the Kohen Gadol, unique halachas regarding the Melech. I think it's very apropos to be learning this right after Tisha B'Av, right before Shabbos Nachamu. Halachas that describe what the world once upon a time looked like when there was a Kohen Gadol, and you'll see here in the Mishnah the kavod that the Kohen Gadol was given, the kavod that the Melachim were given, certainly Davar Be'itay Matay. Zok the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol Don V'Don Anois. A Kohen Gadol was qualified to be a member of the Sanhedrin. So if the Kohen Gadol also happened to be a big Talmud Chacham, he could sit on the Sanhedrin. The Gemara is going to ask, Pshita. And he could be judged. So he could judge, he could be a dayan. V'donanoisai, meid, he can be an aid, he's kosher le'edos, umi'idanoisai, and people can testify about him. Choylet, he could do chalitza. So that if his brother died without children, left over an almana, also known as a yevama, the halacha is, there's a mitzvah for the brother that's alive to do either yibum or chalitza. If the Kohen Gadol chooses to do chalitza, he could do chalitza. For chalitzah le'ishta, if the Kohen Gadol died and he had no children and he left over a brother, say so his brother could do chalitza on his wife. Umiyab minas ishta. Or if the brother wants to do yibum instead of chalitza, that's also good. Aval hu ene miyabim. He himself can't do yibum. Meaning the Kohen Gadol cannot do yibum. If his brother dies without children, mipneshu asr ba'almana, or yuvama by definition is an almana, and a Kohen Gadol is asr ba'almana. Says the Mishnah right, meis le'meis, if a Kohen Gadol has a close relative that dies, ene yitz achar mita. See, he's not let her go after the mita. We know that a Kohen is not allowed to be metama to a mace. Stating that, the seven kroivim, he is allowed to be metama to the seven kroivim that are mentioned in the Torah in the beginning of Parashas Emor. But the Kohen Gadol, just like a Nazar, they're the two people that are not allowed to be metama to anybody. The only ones that a Kohen Gadol and a Nazar are allowed to be metama to is a mace mitzvah. There's a whole perek in Masechtas Nazir called Perek Kohen Gadol. That's the other Perek Kohen Gadol in Shas. So there's Perek Kohen Gadol Masechtas Sanhedrin, there's Perek Kohen Gadol Masechtas Nazir, and discussion over there is with a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir are walking together in the street, and they find the Meis Mitzvah. It's like the whole Shas all wrapped in one. So you have a Kohen Gadol, you have a Nazir, boom, they bump it. There's a Sharamud coming on the other side. Right, and they bump into a Meis Mitzvah. The question is, who should be Metamah to the Meis Mitzvah? Should the Kohen Gadol be Metamah, or should the Nazir be Metamah? They both are obviously very Kaddish to the degree that none of them are allowed to be Metamah to a Meis, even not to a Karev. The question is, where the Torah says, to a Meis Mitzvah, yeah, which one of them should do it? Should the Kohen Gadol do it, or the Nazir do it? But anyway, Kohen Gadol's never allowed to be Metamah to a Meis. So what happens if one of his relatives dies? So he can't be Metamah, but he wants to participate in the funeral procession. Is that something he's allowed to do? So the Mishnah says he can, however, he has to follow very strict guidelines. Ein yoitz achra mita. He can't literally follow the bet. Ella, what he could do is, hey nichsin vahu nigla, hey nigla vahu nichsa. So Rashi explains what it means is that he can follow the mita as long as he's one mavoi removed. So in the olden days, the streets, think of the Gesalach in Yerushalayim, right? Walk through Mei Sharim, so you have a bunch of mavois. So as long as they're not in the same mavoi, in the same alleyway, at the same time, Rashi describes it in detail, that would be okay. So he can do it as long as there's some hecker, as long as he's keeping some distance, so that there's no chashash that he's going to jump on the maze because of the tsar that he has and actually touch the maze, then it's going to be fine. The yoytze imam, he can continue doing this at Pesach Shar O'ir until he comes to the entranceway of the city. We'll see more right about that. Divi Ramei, Rabbi says, in the yoytze ben HaMikdash. No, he's never allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash. Kohen Gadol cannot leave the Beis HaMikdash. He can't be metamah l'meis. He can't even participate in the funeral procession. And even if he's going to do it in a way where there'll be a hecker, it's still not okay. Shenema, because the pasuk says, "Umin hamikdash lo yetze." Ukshu menachim acherim. When the kohen gadol is being menachim people, he's doing nichum avelim. So derech kol ha'am oivrim bezeh acharzeh. So the Mishnah is describing what we know as shura. So if anyone's ever seen it, Loyaleinu, so the process of Shura is where the Avelim, right after the Levaya, after the Kfura, so the Avelim will stand on one side, the Menachemim will stand on the two sides of the Avelim, and the Avelim walk through, and that's the process that was done. Now, the Gemara is going to say that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it was actually done a little bit differently. Rather than the Avelim being the ones walking in between the Menachemim, it was the Menachemim that were walking, and the Avelim would stand in one place. So, Kishahu Menachem, when the Kohen Gadol would be from the Menachemim, Derech Kolam Oivim Mezachazah. The people would walk, and this is the Shura, where today the Avelim walk. There it was the Menachemim that were walking. But being that he's the Kohen Gadol, even though he has this mitzvah to be Menachem Avelim, but he wouldn't just walk in this single file line in between two ordinary yidden. No, he had to be distinguished a little bit. So what happened is the Memuna, that's the Skan Kohen Gadol, he would be to the right of the of the Hamoin Am that are being Menachim. The Kohen Gadol would be to the right of the Mamuna, so that the Mamuna is Mematza. He's separating the Kohen Gadol and the rest of the When other people are being Menachemim, the people would tell him, Anu Kapara Secha, we should be a Kapara, meaning any other bad thing that was supposed to happen to you, Klal Yisrael is taking it upon themselves as a nation, let it instead happen to us. For who Aimer Lehem, and he would tell them, no, you should be gebenched. Chas v'shalom, nothing bad should happen to you, you should be gebenched.
What does he mean Menachem? I thought he can leave the Mikdash.
How is he being Menachem then? He can't leave. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Menachem Mikdash Layetze, how could he do it? I hear the kasha. When they would bring in the Suda Savra, Kolom, Masuban al Oretz, everybody would be sitting on the ground. What's that?
I said, that's usually how you answer.
No, I think he knows that, by the way. Ukshem Avar Noisoy. He just wondered if I throw something. Sometimes, by the way. When they would bring the Suda Savra, everybody would sit on the Aretz. When Mesva Al-Safso, he would sit on a bench. Either way, that's the first part of the Mishnah. So the first part of the Mishnah, it's a smorgasbord of ideas, most of which is going to be discussed in detail in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, that just like we had in the first Mishnah in the Masechta, that the Kohen Gadol is different in the way that he was judged, not Bezen Shal Chav Gimel, for example, but rather Bezen Shal Ayin Aleph. There's other halachas that pertain to the Kohen Gadol as well. So although he's done v'dana noisai meyedu me'ida noisai choyleitz v'choltzim l'ishtoi even me'yabin esish, but he himself can't do yibum, number one. Number two, he has to be very careful when he's at a levaya, even from a family member. He can't get too close, because if he gets too close, there's a chash that he may
do something. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he can't be Menachem at all. He's never allowed to leave. When he's Menachem others, so he couldn't just walk, let's say, by the Shura together with the Am, but rather he would have to be separated. He would be to the right of the Skan, who was to the right of everybody else. When they were Menachem him, they would tell him, Anu Kaparoscha, it's not something you tell an ordinary person. And even when they brought in the Sudas Havra, everybody would sit on the ground, and ironically, the Kohen Gadol, who's the person, he's the Ovel, he's the person that they're coming to be Menachem, he would somehow sit on a safsal. That's the Kohen Gadol. HaMelech. But the Melech was on a whole nother level. Loidon, he couldn't judge. V'loidon and Oisai, they didn't judge him. Loi Meid, he didn't say Eidus. V'loi Meid and Oisai, they couldn't say Eidus about him. Loi Choylitz, he couldn't do Chalitza. V'loi Choltzin L'Ishtai, he couldn't be Choylitz's wife. Loi Meyabim, he couldn't do Yibum. V'loi Meyabim L'Ishtai, they couldn't do Yibum to his wife. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Imrotzal Lachloitz Oyliyabim Zochel Atoiv." These are the Shmaki Gemaras that we're going to see in tomorrow's daf. Amrulei, they told him, "I disagree." Ain't Shaimim Loi. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's just a right that the Melech has, that if he wants, he doesn't have to do Yibam v'chalitza. Doesn't have to. An ordinary, it has to. The Melech doesn't have to. But if he wants to, Zachar Latayv, to the contrary. Chamim say, we disagree. Ein Shaimim Loi. Ve'ein Noisan Almanasai. Another halacha, if the Melech dies and he leaves over an Almana, nobody's allowed to marry the Melech's Almana. Rabbi Yehuda says, Noisei HaMelech Almanasai Shal Melech, that it's true, an ordinary person, a Hedyot, was not allowed to marry the Almana of a Melech. But a Melech is allowed to marry the Almana of a Melech. Shekein Matzino B'David, and this Gemara is going to segue us into some beautiful Agadita, because you find by David HaMelech, Shenas Almanasai Shal Shal, he married the Almana of Shal, Shenema Ve'etna L'cha, is Beis Adinecha, V'Sneshnei Adinecha B'Chekechas. Either way, the first part of the Mishnah discusses the Kohen Gadol, the second part of the Mishnah discusses the Melech is more chamor than the Kohen Gadol. So, whereas the Kohen Gadol was done, v'dan and I say made, or me'idin I say chaylitz v'cholzen le'ishtay, me'yabin es ishtay, all of the above is not okay when it comes to the Melech. As a matter of fact, the Chachamim hold ein noisin al menasei shel Melech. No one's allowed to ever, not just Yibum. You can never marry the Almana of a Melech. Rabbi Yehuda said that it's true, a regular person can't, a Melech can. Again, everything will be discussed in much greater detail in the Gemara. Zok the Gemara, Kohen Gadol Domshik. First halacha in the Mishnah was that a Kohen Gadol could be a member of a Bezdin. Faith the Gemara, obviously, why not? Zok the Gemara, done in Nitzri Chalei. Now the Chiddush is not that he can be done, that he can be a Dayan. The Chiddush is that we can judge him. Meaning, I would have thought somehow that the Kohen Gadol is beyond reproach. Somehow the Kohen Gadol, you cannot judge. But the Gemara says, Anami Pshita, that's also Pashat. Because once I know that he himself can be a judge, it means that he can be judged. Because Eloi Daninun Le Ihu Hechi Dayan, if he cannot be judged, how could he be a judge? Fuck, if the pasuk says it's Koshu V'Koshu, Amr Ishak Rashik said, Kshayt Atzmach V'Achik Akshayt Acherim. You have to practice what you preach. You cannot do something onto somebody else if you're not. So if you're going to tell me that the Kohen Gadol could be a judge, it means he could be judged. Because if you're someone that can't be judged, you are not qualified to judge somebody else. Elo. So what's the chiddush of Kohen Gadol don v'don and oisai? L'chur pshita. Again, the fact that a Kohen Gadol could judge is pasha. Why shouldn't he be able to be a member of the Sanhedrin? And once I know he could judge, he obviously can be judged. Because if he couldn't be judged, then he couldn't judge. Says the Gemara, Ela Aidi, the boy, Lemisni, Melech, Loidon, V'loidon and oisai. Now the chiddush is really nothing. But being that the Mishnah later was going to say in the Sefer regarding the Melech, that the Melech is different. He's on a different level. He cannot be a judge, nor can he be judged. So it's for that reason that we mentioned the Reisha. And there is no Chiddush per se in Kohen Gadol Don V'Don Enoisai. The Chiddush is Melech Loidon V'Loidon Enoisai. And Agav, once we're mentioning that the Melech is Loidon V'Don Enoisai, we mentioned that the Kohen Gadol is Don V'Don Enoisai. Iba Yaseima Hakamashma. It could be the Rizach. Tanya Run to the Braiso. Kohen Gadol, Sharekes HaNefesh, B'Mezer Nerek. A Kohen Gadol that kills somebody B'Mezer is Chayiv Miso. B'Shoigeg, if Kohen Gadol kills somebody B'Shoigeg, Goyla, he goes to Golis. V'Oiver Al Aseh V'Aloi Saseh, which at first glance just seems bizarre. A Kohen Gadol's Oiver and an Aseh and Aloi Saseh, the Gemara is going to say,
just because he's a Kohen Gadol. He's over on an Asay and a Lois Asay, so we'll see that on Amid Beis. The Gemara will explain that as well. So let's break down the Braisa, one piece at a time. The first part of the Braisa was, Kohen Gadol that kills the Nezid, Nerak, Pshita. So the Gemara, you're right. B'shoigig goyle itzrichle. The Chiddush is that if he kills B'shoigig, he goes to Golos. Hanami Pshita, itzrichle. Here there's already a Chiddush. So good, I think I would have thought, Hail the Kasa, being that the Pasuk says that when somebody kills somebody B'shoigig, he goes to Golos. And how long does he go to Golos? He should be there until the Kohen Gadol dies. I would have thought called Islay Takanta Bechazara Gishmaki Gemara. Any person who can leave Golos when the Kohen Gadol dies legally, he should go to Golos. But the less late Takanta Bechazara. But if he has no way of leaving when the Kohen Gadol dies, why not? Because he himself is the Kohen Gadol. So legally, maybe he shouldn't go to Golos. Ditnan, as a matter of fact, it's a Mishnah Hoyre Kohen Gadol. If somebody kills the Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Gadol Shahar Ges Hanefesh. Any Yotzei Misham Loilam, he can never leave. And what we need is the second part of that Mishnah. A Kohen Gadol that kills somebody never leaves because the way to leave is when the Kohen Gadol dies, and he himself is the Kohen Gadol. So I would have thought, that's why it's certainly a chiddush. So you're right, there's no chiddush that if a Kohen Gadol kills B'mezid, he's killed. The chiddush is that if he kills B'shoigig, he goes to Golos. And once we mention that a Kohen Gadol kills B'shoigig, he goes to Golos, which is a chiddush. So we mention that a Kohen Gadol is B'mezid, is chayim mizid. Maybe if a Kohen Gadol kills B'shoigig, he really shouldn't go to Golos. A makra, it's learned that from a pasuk, lono shama ko. Right, Seyach, Afilu Kohen Gadol B'mashma. Over al Asay v'aloysay. The Braisa continued and said that a Kohen Gadol is over on an Asay and a Loysasay. Faith the Gemara, Loysagi the Loyavar. For sure? Just because he's a Kohen Gadol? He's going to for sure be over on an Asay and a Loysasay. The Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. Im over al Asay v'aloysasay. Hareu lehedi d'chol dvar. What it means is that if he's over on an Asay, or if he's over on a Loysasay, something for which he should get malchus. The halacha is hareyu kehedyet l'chol dvarav. He gets treated like a hedyet, and just like a hedyet that's chayev malchus needs to be judged by a bezdin shel shloisha, so to the kohen gadol that did something for which he's chayev malchus will be judged by a bezdin shel shloisha. Freit the gemara pshita. Why would I think that you need a larger bezdin than a bezdin shel shloisha to judge the kohen gadol? What's the answer? It's an easy answer. So good. I would have thought, hell, if it's not we learned in the first mishnah. Ein don eloyes hashevet. Exactly. Veloyes navi hasheker. Veloyes a kohen gadol el al pi bezdin shel shivin veechod. Ve'amar Rav Ada bar Ahava. Rav Ada bar Ahava said there's a makar. Kol adover agadol yaviyei lach. Dvarav shel gadol all have to be brought in front of Moshe, who was like the Bezdin Shel Ayin Aleph. Say, I would have thought, Kol Dvarav Shel Gadol. So, just like the Dinei Nefashis of the Kohen Gadol has to be brought in front of a Bezdin Shel Ayin Aleph, so to the Malkus of the Kohen Gadol should have to be brought in front of a Bezdin Shel Ayin Aleph. Kamash Malon. That's the Chiddush. That's not the way it works. Freit the Gemara, Eimah Hachinami. Maybe you should. Kol Dover Hagadol, Yovio Elachot Varv Shogadol. Sok the Gemara, Miksiv Divrei Gadol, Ha Dover Hagadol, Ksiv, it says it with the Hea Yediyah, Dover Gadol Mamish. It has to be a Dover Gadol Mamish. Okay, so how did we come into this? We had a kasha. The kasha was, Kohen Gadol done. The fact that a Kohen Gadol can be judged is pasha. So the Gemara said, you're right. Done in Oisai is Trichalei. But the Gemara said, that's also pasha. Because once I know that he can judge, obviously he could be judged. Because if he couldn't be judged, he wouldn't be able to judge. So the Gemara said, Tuterusa. The first teretz was, could be there's no Chiddush. Kohen Gadol done v'done in Oisai, Pshita. Everyone knows that. No, the Mishnah is going to tell me the Melech is loy done v'loy done in Oisai. So once we wanted to say, Melech loy don v'loy don in Oisai, Agav, we mentioned Kohen Gadol don v'don in Oisai. Iba Yiseima, the second tirade of the Gemara is, it could be the Chiddush is don in Oisai. What was the kasha? What's the Chiddush don in Oisai? If I know he's done, I know don in Oisai. The Chiddush is not don in Oisai per se, but the Chiddush is don in Oisai kehedyet. I would have thought that don in Oisai in a different way, Bezdin Shalayin Aleph. Because just like Dinei Nefashis is Bezdin Shalayin Aleph, maybe even the Malkus is going to be Bezdin Shalayin Aleph. Kamash Malon, don in Oisai is like an ordinary person, and just like an ordinary person, a hedyet, when it comes to Malkus, he gets judged with a Bezdin Shal Gimel, so too here, he gets judged by a Bezdin Shal Gimel. Don in Oisai means Harehu Kehedyet L'chol Dvarav. So before we go weiter, just to exhale for one moment, you don't usually do this much Gemara without stopping. So just to exhale for one moment, just one Ara. That is, so we had a Gemara where the Gemara said that there was a Solka Daitach, there was a Havamina, that if the Kohen Gadol would kill somebody b'shoygig, maybe he wouldn't go to Galus. Why not? Because the pasuk says v'yoshav ba ad moisa kohen gadol. When somebody kills somebody b'shoygig, he stays there until the kohen gadol dies. So eimo ichvolt gevolt nainen called is leitakante b'chazar legally. Somebody that has this get out of jail card should go to Galus in the first place. But the less leitakante b'chazar, but someone who doesn't have that option of being able to leave loy legally, mashmalon. It says, "Lanu shama kol reitzeach afilu kohen gadol b'mashma." What came to mind was a classic meshech halacha. That is, we know that there were six arei miklat that Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he would have to establish. Three of them he established Eve Yarden. The other three he didn't get a chance to establish. It was Yeshua Ben Nun and Elazar Kohen Gadol. It happened in Eretz Yisrael. But the Mishnah in Mesechtes Makis says a chiddush that the three Ari Miklat that were Be'Evra Yarden didn't work. They weren't koilate until the three that were in Eretz Yisrael were already Miyushav. They already established. It's learned out from a pasuk, Sheish Ari Miklat Yena. Why does the Torah have to do the math for us? To tell me that they have to be a unit of six. And either they operate as a unit of six or they don't operate at all. So the three Be'evra Yarden, which technically were established before the three in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't work. So if somebody killed somebody b'shoygig and he ran to one of the Ari Miklat and Eivra Yarden, it's a sugi mesechtes makis. It didn't work. It did not protect the Ritzach b'shoygig. If the Goyal Adam would walk into their Miklat, put a bullet into the Ritzach b'shoygig's head, the Goyal Adam would be okay. Meaning there was no protection of their Miklat. When did the three Be'evra Yarden protect? It was only after the three in Eretz Yisrael were already established, when it was Sheish Ari Miklat Tiena, when you had six in total, it was only then that it worked. The question is why? What's the pshat? Oh, it's a pasuk. It's Xeris HaKosim. It says Rameir Simcha in Meshech Chachma. I'm going to tell you the psychology of this halacha. It's very deep and it's very profound. Says Rameh Simcha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes a person, he does so bediktuk gadol. Hashem doesn't punish people high level. Oh, this person's going to get this, this person's going to get that. Every single nuance, every trial and tribulation, every nisayon that comes along with anything that Hashem throws in somebody's direction is b'cheshbon gadol. It's 1,000% exactly the way it's supposed to be. So let's look at it from the standpoint of the Ritzach b'shoygig. Somebody killed somebody b'shoygig. Even though he did a b'shoygig, he needs kapara. What's his kapara going to be? He has to go to an Eir Miklat. He has to be in the Eir Miklat, away from his family, not a great life. That's what his punishment is going to be. But at the same time, that punishment was tempered. It was tempered by the fact that he knew he had an option. What was the option? It's possible that he's going to get a phone call, that the Kohen Gadol just died, and if the Kohen Gadol dies, he now has an ability to get out. So in theory, he was given a life sentence, meaning he may be there for the rest of his life. But it's not a real life sentence, because there is the possibility that tomorrow he's going to go out. How so? If the Kohen Gadol is going to die. And that's all part of the equation. That's all part of the punishment that Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted this person to go away for the rest of his life, but at the same time, have the hope, the huffening, that maybe tomorrow morning he's going to be told that the Kohen Gadol just died and he's going to be able to get out right away. That is the punishment. That is the punishment of every Ritzach B'shoygig. Said Rameh Simcha something unbelievable. He said that if somebody would have killed somebody B'shoygig, Be'ivra Yarden, before the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, before they conquered the land, and before they established other three Ari Miklat, that person that would have gone to Golis would not have had the hope that maybe the Kohen Gadol is going to die tomorrow and maybe he's going to be able to get out. You know why? Because who was the Kohen Gadol at the time? Elazar Kohen Gadol. And Hashem had told Yeshua Ben Nun and Elazar Kohen Gadol that they're going to be the ones that are going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. They're going to divide Eretz Yisrael. A Nevuah Toiva has to happen. We just spoke that out. A Nevuah Toiva has to happen. That means if Hashem already said that Elazar Kohen Gadol is going to be around long enough to divide Eretz Yisrael, that means it wasn't possible that Elazar Kohen Gadol was going to die. Because there was an Nevuah Toiva that Elazar Kohen Gadol has to be the one to be manchel and then to later distribute, to be mechalik Eretz Yisrael. That means if somebody would have been a Ritzach B'shoygig at that moment, that person would have gone to Golus, but he wouldn't have had the hope that maybe he's going to find out the Kohen Gadol died. Because the Kohen Gadol has to be around for some time. Because the Kohen Gadol is Elazar Kohen Gadol, and there's an Nevuah Toiva
for Elazar that he's going to be alive. By the way, it turned out 14 years, right? 7 years, they conquered the land. Another 7 years to divide the land. So Elazar Kenelah was going to be around for the first 14 years. And this was predestined. There was no, he didn't need Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He was going to live because there was a Nevuah Toiva that he was going to be alive, which meant that the Ritzeach was going to have a punishment that was worse than what the Torah had in mind. That punishment, says Ramei Simcha, when you know you're going away for 15 years or whatever it is, that's cruel and unusual. That's not what the Torah had in mind. Torah had in mind, go away, but no, there's hope. Every night you can go to sleep. Every day you can daven. That's why they used to daven. That's why the mothers of the Kehan Gedoyim used to try to get on their good side. They didn't want it to daven. But there was a hope. There was tikvah for every Ritzach B'Shoigin that maybe they'll get out, except for those Ritzach B'Shoigin. So that's why until they established the three Ari Miklot in Eretz Yisrael, until that time, until there was already six, now a Lazak Kohen Gadol can die, now it's already Shaykh for the three Ari Miklot to work. But I think it's a Mefurish Gemara. It's the Havamin of this Gemara. Eim Kol Isle Takanta the less late takanta bechazara loyligli. What's the tifkat in the Gemara? The tifkat in the Gemara is not just that if you don't have this prat, this sif cotton in the laws of galus, maybe there's no halach of galus. It's much deeper than that. This is the punishment. If this person goes to galus and he doesn't have the hope of getting out, it's too. That is too chomer. That's cruel and unusual. That's not what the Torah had in mind. If that's not what the Torah had in mind, I would have thought that maybe you shouldn't go to galus. The Torah is a pasuk. Lo neshama koreitzech. This is an exception to the rule. This is a pasuk. But without a pasuk and a chinami, there was a svara to say that maybe he should not go to galus. Meid umeidin oisai. So the Mishnah said, "Kohen Gadol don v'don an oisai." We just had to shot him what the chiddush of don v'don an oisai is. Meid, he could say edus umeidin oisai, and others could say edus about him. Great, the Gemara meid. A Kohen Gadol says edus. By time we went to the brayso, the hisalamto. Now where does it say that? By the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. This is a perik Eilu Metzias thing. So it says in the Torah, Loisucha Lesalem, right? If you see an Aveda, you have to, Loisucha Lesalem, Vesalamta, it's an Ase, it's a Loisase, it comes up in all the sugis of Dchiyah, Vesalamta, Pomim Sha'ata Mesalem, Upomim Shi'ata Mesalem. There are times you're allowed to be Mesalem, and there are times you're not allowed to be Mesalem. Meaning, just like it says Loisucha Lesalem, but it also says Vesalamta. There's a time where if you see an Aveda, you have a right to look away. Okay, it's that. So Chazal gave three examples. Koyim Vubeves Akfaris. A Koyein does not go into a Beis HaKfaris to return somebody's Aveda. Zokein ve'eno lefichvaydei. Or if the person that sees the Aveda is a Zokein and it's eno lefichvaydei for him to walk around with this Aveda. Or if this person makes a lot of money and if he's going to stop his work to go take care of this Aveda, it's going to come at a loss. The halach is, he's not mechuyif to do it. But what's the kasha? That one of the three mentioned is Zokein ve'eno lefichvaydei. And the Gemara holds, you see from here, you saw it. Not just the halacha, a detail in the laws of Hashavas Aveda, but really a yesoid that you can cut and paste throughout Shas. And that is that any time there's a mitzvah, I'm faced with an obligation. But I'm a zokin, and it's eino lefichvaydi, maybe I'm not obligated to do it. So it's true, if somebody knows edus about somebody else, it says in the Torah, v'im lo yagid v'nos avoyna, he has an obligation to go and testify. He has an obligation to say edus. But at the same time, perhaps if it's a zokin, v'eino lefichvaydi, maybe in that context, he's not going to be obligated. So afraid the Gemara, it's eino lefichvaydi for the Kohen Gadol to walk in the Bezalel and to say edus. So based on that, l'chayro, the Kohen Gadol should be potter from saying edus. So what does the Mishnah say Kohen Gadol is made? Why is it not considered Zokin the Enelech Tichfoyde Amrav Yisro? Yisro the Meil Melech. He's talking about what he was saying. Eidos about the king. Oh, he's saying Eidos about the king. So it's true. Maybe for a Kohen Gadol to say Eidos is Enelech Tichfoyde, but to say Eidos about the Melech, that's already very much Lefichfoyde. It's a big covet that he's in the courtroom together with the king. It's a kibbut. But the Gemara says, how can you say Eidos about the king? But Tanan, the Mishnah said Loi Dam Veloi Dan Enoisa, referring to the king. Loi Meid Velo Meid Enoisa. You're not allowed to say Eidos about the king. Elo Amrav Zera Meid LeBen Melech. You're right. He's not saying Eidos about the king. He's saying Eidos about the Ben Melech. Ben Melech could be testified. You could say Eidos about him. At the same time, it's also a covet. But the Gemara says, not true. Ben Melech had you too. Ben Melech is Stam had you. Ella says, the Gemara made Bifnei Melech. You're not saying Eidos about the king. It's not the Ben Melech, but the Melech was present in the court. But the Gemara understands that what does it mean the Melech was present? That he was a member of the Sanhedrin. The Melech, but Sanhedrin, you know, let me point the Melech, right? Boy Don, he can't be a member of the Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, if the current Kohen Gadol, Asav Yosef, because of the covenant of Kohen Gadol, the Melech would come. Mekabli Nahalei Sadusi, he'd sit there while they were Mekabli the Eidos, Koi. And then he would leave. So that he would make a cameo appearance just to be there for the time that Kohen Gadol was going to say Eidos, so that it should be covered. Rashi says that it's
the only time the melech would come, and the only time would be a kavod for the melech, maybe is if the ben melech is the one that's defending. So Rashi somehow integrates the Gemara's teretz of ben melech and bifnei melech together. But either way, that's what the Gemara says. Gufo, ein moishivin melech b'sanhedrin. We just mentioned the halacha that ein moishivin melech b'sanhedrin. For loy melech the kohen gadol b'ibushana, and you're not allowed to appoint a melech or a kohen gadol when it comes to ibushana. So we learned a lot about ibushana in the first parak, 3, 5, 7. Right? You had to be invited by the nasi. It was a very big deal. So a melech or the kohen gadol couldn't be involved when it came to ibushana. Says the Gemara, say melech b'sanhedrin. The first part of the brayse that says that you can't appoint a melech in the sanhedrin. I understand dichsib because it says leisane al riv. And we darshin loisane al rav. You're not allowed to argue with somebody very chashuv. So you can't argue with the melech. So if the melech is going to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you can never argue with him. If you can't argue with him, it's just not good for constructive shakla v'tayya. So it's for that reason the melech couldn't be a member of the Sanhedrin. Why melech kohen gadol ibur shana? The melech and the kohen gadol couldn't sit in on ibur hashana. Why not? Melech mishum aspanya. Rashi says because the melech used to pay an annual fee to people that worked for him. But the fee was annual, meaning he paid it for the year. So if there were 12 months in the year, the number that he paid was amortized, it was divided by 12. If there were 13 months in the year, because they were ma'abed hashana, it was divided by 13. So it was always in the melech's interest for there to be 13 months of the year, because he gets to save a few shekels by the fact that his dollar amount is being divided not by 12, but is being divided by 13. Kohen Gadol Mishum Tzina. The reason the Kohen Gadol wasn't trusted to be part of the Ibur Shana, because he also had an incentive. His incentive wasn't to push off, not to be Ma'abed Hashana. To the contrary, he didn't want to be Ma'abed Hashana. The reason is because if they'd be Ma'abed Hashana, then sometimes Yom Kippur would fall out in the winter, got pushed off a month, it gets really cold, and Kohen Gadol doesn't want it to be cold, because the Kohen Gadol had to do 5 tefillos, and he had to be Mekadosh Yadayim V'Raglayim 10 times. He's changing his clothing so he doesn't want to get sick. So just for those reasons, it was something we were afraid that maybe his negius would manipulate. Now, by the way, at first glance, really, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is worried about a little draft. The Teretz is, we're talking Bayasheni. That's always the answer. Anytime you have a kasha like this, hashtag Bayasheni. Amara Papa. But our Papa said that really this last brisa, parenthetically, is a little bit of chiddush to me. Shmami, no, you see from here that Shasa Basa Yarcha Azal. Meaning, the Gemara said that the Kohen Gadol may be incentivized not to be Ma'abed Hashana. Because if you're going to be Ma'abed Hashana, then you're going to end up having Cheshvin's weather in Tishrei. Right? Because you just pushed Tishrei into where Cheshvin would have been. So really, it would have been Cheshvin. Now it's Tishrei, so the weather is going to be a little bit colder. As if to say that when the Ma'abed Hashana, the weather of the new month is what it would have been. Meaning, so Adar Sheni ends up getting what Nisan's weather would have been. Fast forward to the winter time, which is what the Gemara is discussing, Tishrei ends up having the weather that Mar Cheshvin would have had. Now, it seems rather obvious, right? But the Gemara says, Eini, this is not so, because Bahanach, Gimel, Roye Bakar, there were 3 shepherds, 3 Roye Bakar. Vishamidu Rabbanu the Kamri, the Rabbanu heard them talking, and Chadama once said, in Bakar V'lokish, Kechade Yentz, he said, if the wheat and the barley both sprout at the same time, Dein Hu Adar, then I know that this month is supposed to be Adar. The Imlav, and if not, Leistin Adar. It means that it's not supposed to be Adar, it's really supposed to be Shvat. So they were farmers, and based on something agricultural, they knew. The Chadamar once said, if the axe gets really, really cold in the morning, he almost dies in the morning because it's so cold. But a betihara in the afternoon, then to the contrary, he's very comfortable. Deinu Adar, must be it's Adar. The Imlav, and if flat, lays Deinu Adar. You would never know this on the recording, right? The Chadoma and the other one said, Im Kidum Takuf L'Chada Yehei, that if the Kidum, that's the eastern wind, is really strong. What's another word for especially? Yipach Beloyach Nafik L'Givle. And yet, no 27. The cold of winter has subsided to such a degree that that you can knock it out with a little breath. Deinu Adar, Vimlav, Leis Dein Adar ve'ibru Rabbanan lehishasa. But the point is that the Rabbanan heard what these Roy Baku were saying, and the Roy Baku were saying that, you know, they were able to tell just based on the season whether this should be Adar or it should be Shvat, whether it should be Adar or this should be Nisan. And the Rabbanan listened to what they said, and they were ma'abed Shana based on what they were saying, as if to say that Tishrei weather should never fall out of Cheshvan. Adar Sheni weather should never fall out of Nisan. To the contrary, if you have a sense that by not being ma'abed the shana, the seasons are going to be messed up, that's a reason to be ma'abed the shana. Or if you get a sense that by being ma'abed the shana, the seasons are going to be messed up, that's a reason not to be ma'abed the shana. There's a certain weather, climate, that you expect the world to have, Nisan, and then Iyar, and then Sivan, and we're ma'abed the shana to make sure that it actually works out the way it's supposed to work out. Right? Because these farmers were saying that they were able to tell whether or not this was supposed to be a Shvat or an Adar, and based on that, the Rabbanu went ahead and they made a decision. So what are we saying? That the Kohen Gadol may be chashuv, by a shame, of manipulating the Ibur Shana, because he doesn't want Cheshvin weather in Tishrei. If there's going to be Cheshvin weather in Tishrei, that means there's going to be Adar weather in Shvat. Like, just do the math. And the Chachamim anyway is going to be Ma'abed Hashanah. Or anyway is not going to be Ma'abed Hashanah. They're anyways taking into consideration, when it comes to being Ma'abed Hashanah, the season of the time. So why is there a chash that really we should be Ma'abed Hashanah? But the Kohen Gadol, he's going to be one of the 3, 5, 7, and he's going to, because of an agenda that he has, he doesn't want it to be too cold, he's going to say, don't be Ma'abed Hashanah. His agenda is a real agenda. If there's a real concern that it's going to be cold, that you're going to end up with Cheshvin wither and Tishrei, then everybody would agree not to be Ma'abed Hashanah. That's the Gemara's kasha. But the Gemara says, V'tizra Rabbanan Aravasa Samach, does this Gemara make sense anyways? The Rabbanan overheard 3 Raya Bakar, boom, they decide to be Ma'abed Hashanah. It's quite complicated. They went to Rabbi Akiva in the Beis Asurim, right? Remember the Gemara in the first parak, and he listed out all the different years in the future when you have to be Ma'abed Hashanah. It's quite complex. 3 shepherds without an education are not qualified to tell the Rabbanon when to be Ma'abed Hashanah. Says the Gemara, Elo Rabbanon Chushbanayu Samach. This whole Gemara shouldn't be taken literally. The Rabbanon had their Chushbanis. V'roi Bok Istayu Yehuda Istaya Milsayu. They were just lending some credence to something that the Rabbanon had decided anyways based on their Chushbanis. But there's no question in the world that the Rabbanon were not going to decide to be Ma'abed Hashanah, not to be Ma'abed Hashanah, based on what these Roye Bokar said. Either way, Zokta Gemara Vaita, we get into the Yevamis portion of Masechta Sanhedrin, and that is Choyletz V'Choletz and Lishna. So the Mishnah said that when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, so Choyletz V'Choletz and Lishna, Kohen Gadol could do Chalitza, Kohen Gadol's brother could do Chalitza on the Kohen Gadol's wife, the Kohen Gadol's brother could do Yibum on the Kohen Gadol's wife, assuming the Kohen Gadol died, but the Kohen Gadol himself can't do Yibum. And the reason is, Rebnei Sha'asa Ba'almona. Zokta Gemara, Kapasik V'Tani, Loishna Mino Erisin, V'Loishna Mino Nesu'in. Bishloim Mino Nesu'in, Bishloim Almona Mino Nesu'in. I understand why the Kohen Gadol can't do. Because even though Mitzvah's Yibum is a Mitzvah's Aseh D'Iraisa, Yivama Yavayaleh, but for an Kohen Gadol not to marry an Almana is a mitzvah saseh, and it's a mitzvah lois saseh. It's an saseh because it says in the Torah, Besula yikach. An Almana is not a Besula. It's a lois saseh because it says in the Torah, Almana lo yikach. You're not allowed to marry Almana. So bishloima an Almana min anasuin, who's not a Besula. So it comes out for the Kohen Gadol to marry her, he'd be over an Essa and a lois saseh. The Essa is Besula yikach. The lois saseh is Almana lo yikach. So I understand why he can't do Yibum. Because even though Yibum's an saseh, the inaseh doichel. But an almana mina erisin, why can't the Kohen Gadol do yibum? By almana mina erisin, you only have a lois asay, almana lo yikach. You don't have the asay of besula yikach. Why not? Because all she had was erisin. If all she had was erisin, there was no bir rishayna. If there's no bir rishayna, she's a besula. So you don't have the asay of besula lo yikach. It's fake to gemara. Amai yovay asay. Let the asay of yivama yovay alev. Yitcha lois asay. This is asay doicha lois asay 101. Zok to gemara. This is also Gemara Yevamos Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says it's true. Midai Raisa, absolutely. There's no question. The Yibum would be okay. But it's Midai Rabbanan that it's not okay because the mitzvah saseh of Yibum is only the Bir Rishonah. The Bir Shnia is already not a mitzvah. So Enochinami, the Bir Rishonah would be no problem. You'd have a Seyd Echalei Saseh. But there'll be a Bir Shnia, or there's a possibility there might be a Bir Shnia. So Gzera Bir Rishonah, Atu Bir Shnia. It's for that reason that it's also Tanya Nami Hachi, Araya, in Kadmu Ubalu, Bir Rishonah, Kanu. Brisa that says that if the Kohen Gadol went ahead
and he did bia on the Salmon Amina Erisin, that loch is that the Yibam is chal. However, v'asal akayma b'bia shniya. But you're not allowed to stay married to her. You have to divorce her because we're afraid you might come to a bia shniya. What do you see from this? You see that this halacha, that a kohen gadol is not allowed to be miyabin in Salmon Amina Erisin, is takanat a din d'iraisa. Because if it was a din d'iraisa, the halacha would not be in balu kanu. The chamesh esrei noshim that I mentioned, the first mishnah b'sachtes yibamis, that's poshut if the yibam would go ahead and do yibam, the yibam would michal ibalu laikanu, because there's no zika, there's no din yibam. Over here, there really is a din yibam. Midday raisa, you could do yibam because midday raisa esed doichaloisasa. Narvas, this exer of irishenu ought to be a shniya. It's for that reason b'di'eved im kadmu balu. The halach is it works, but at the same time we are worried about the b'yishniya, and it's for that reason the also lekaimon. So just three ha'aris, three yavamis digaris, go down memory lane a little bit. Two of them are yisoidis in Mesechtes Yavamis that are really tucked away right here on this daf. Mesechtes Sanhedrin, daf Yotes, one over here, one is on Amud Aleph, the other one is on Amud Beis, but three ha'aris regarding Mesechtes Yavamis. The first ha'ara. So the Gemara asked the kasha that I understand almanim in anesuin why the halach is a kohen gadol can't do yibum because it's an asay and a lois asay vein asay doich a lois asay but almanim in eris and all it is a lois asay the lois asay of almanim yikach but besula yikach you're not necessarily violating that because all there was erisin. So why don't we say that the asay of yibum should be doich a the lois asay of almanim yikach? The mechas chinuch and mitzvah aleph brings from the sefer Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, which was written by the mechaber of the Kappos Gemara. He asked in Mesechtes Yuma, daf I pay vav amid beis, that he doesn't understand the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara asked the kasha that let the asay of Yibum be doicha the lois asay of almono lo yikach. Who has the mitzvah asay of Yibum? The Yavam. Yavam or Yavay Ola. Whenever there's a Yibam, the Yavam has a mitzvah sasei. Does the Yavam have a mitzvah sasei? B'chur na. It doesn't say anywhere that the Yavam has an asei. All it says is that the Yavam has an asei. When it comes to the loisa asei of Amon Ola Yikach, we know the Gemara says that all these Surei Bia, the Zohar and the Nekeva are Shav. So sometimes the Torah mentions it from the Zohar standpoint, sometimes from the Nekeva standpoint, but Huchshu Kol Arayezel is there. And the Gemara says it's true with regards to Chayvei Lavin as well. All these Surei Bia in the Torah, there's never a difference that he, the male, has the Avera, but the female doesn't. There's no such thing. If he has the Isra, she has the Isra. That means if the Torah said that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry Almana, it means Almana is not allowed to marry Kohen Gadol either. So Frank, the Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, Gevaldig. Who has the Asei by Yibum? Only he has the asay. Yavama Yavayale. Who has the loisa asay? They both have it. So Enochinami, his asay could be doicha his loisa asay. But she also has the loisa asay, and she doesn't have the asay. So how could his asay be doicha her loisa asay? I'm doing a loisa asay, and I'm doing an asay. So I get it. I could do the loisa asay because I have the asay. But she, who has the loisa asay and doesn't have the asay, so Enochinami, mitzadi yavam, there's no issues. But mitzadi yavam, there's a problem. So maybe that's pshat of the Mishnah. You want to know why the Mishnah says the Kohen Gadol can't do yibum? Loishnam and Erisin, loishnam and anesuin? Because even in Erisin, where all it is a loisa asay, she has the loisa asay, she doesn't have the asay. We're just as worried about her as we're worried about him. So Enochinami, he has asay deicha loisa asay, but she doesn't have asay deicha loisa asay. So the emes is the Tosfos Kippurim declares different stardom. Number one, maybe we have to be Mechadish, that she also has an asay of Yibam Yavaleh. And even though from the simple reading of the Torah it doesn't sound that way, sounds like it's his mitzvah, maybe she does have a mitzvah. Maybe we're going to say a chiddush that as long as one of the two people that are being over this lois asay also has an asay, even if the other person doesn't have an asay, maybe that's enough and there's no problem. So if two people simultaneously are being over a lois asay and one of the people has an asay, maybe that would be enough to say asay doicha lois asay, even though the other person has the lois asay without saying an asay. It's a very big chiddush. This comes into Tosfos Chagiga Daf Beis, Tosfos Bava Basra Daf Yud Gimel, Tosfos in Ksuba Slama. This is Dvarim Atikin, things that we've spoken about many, 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 many times. But just one ha'ara, where does this come into Mesechtes Yuma Daf Pei Vav Beis? If you remember the end of Mesechtes Yuma, it's all Agadata, and it talks about Tshuva and Yom Kippur and Karis and Mises Bezdin. That's the context over there. So where does this Tosfos Yom Kippurim come in? So it actually comes into a classic Divrei Agada. Om Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, G'day L'tshuva. Tshuva is so great, She'doicha es lois asei she b'teir. Because it's doicha lois asei in the Torah. How so? Because it says, the Navi describes that when Klai Yisrael did Averis, Hashem divorced Klai Yisrael. Yet when they do tshuva, Hashem takes them back. Now we know that you're not allowed to be machzik grushasai.
Can't be machzik rishasa. So how can Hashem take Klal Yisrael back? Isn't he being machzik rishasa? The teretz is tshuva. G'dayla tshuva. Klal Yisrael does tshuva. It's doicha alois haseh shebetayra. It's doicha alois haseh machzik rishasa. Frank the kapis tomorrow in the Sayyid Yom Kippurim. G'dayla tshuva shedoicha alois haseh shebetayra. Every haseh is doicha alois haseh shebetayra. Haseh doicha alois haseh. So what's Rabbi Yochanan saying? G'dayla tshuva shedoicha alois haseh shebetayra. As if to say there's some anomaly with tshuva. Tshuva is such a great, it's not just a mitzvah. It's tshuva, it's gewaldig. It's doicha alois haseh shebetayra. Every haseh. He says, in this case, with the tshuva and the machzik u'shasay, who's being over the lois haseh? Kaviyochel, Hashem, when he's machzik u'shasay. Who's doing the haseh? Klal Yisrael, when they do tshuva. Ordinarily, if Reuven's over an haseh, and Shimon is doing the lois haseh, do you say haseh deicha lois haseh? No, that's what we just said. You need the same person that's doing the lois haseh to be mekayim and haseh. But the isha's lois haseh l'chayra can't be nitcha because of the yodam's haseh. My haseh can be deicha my lois haseh. But my haseh can't be deicha your lois haseh. But what do you see by tshuva? By tshuva, you see that even though Klal Yisrael are the ones that are being mekayim and haseh, and Hashem is the one that's being over the lois haseh. So the one doing the haseh and the one doing the lois haseh are not the same. So ordinarily, based on the regular laws of Tchiya, it shouldn't work. G'dayla tshuva. Tshuva is different. Tshuva is an exception. That as long as there's tshuva in the picture, even if Chaim Yankel is the one doing tshuva and Reuven is the one that did the lois haseh, it doesn't matter. G'dayla tshuva shadaycha lois shabatayra. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lois haseh kaviyochel could be nitche. That's if it's the same person. But with somebody else, ordinarily not, Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush was that G'dayla Tshuva, that's something that's going to work even over there. That's the first thought. This.
When we see by Sheni, that's what
he said. Very good. That's the first order. The second order is, so we had in the first part of the Mishnah discussed the laws of Yibam V'Chalitza as it pertains to a Kohen God. The second part of the Mishnah discussed the laws of Yibam V'Chalitza as it pertains to the Melech. So the Kohen God was pretty straightforward. The Kohen God could do anything. He could do Chalitza, Chalitza Ishtai. He could be Miyad V'Nes Ishtai. The only thing that the Kohen Gadol has an issue with, he can't do Yibum. The reason he can't do Yibum is because you're running into the Isser Almana, and even though maybe there's a Dechia, but Gzeir B'Yushayim not to be Ishniya, that's where you're running into problems. But when it comes to the Melech is a lot more chamur. What was the halach about the Melech? Loi Chaylitz, he can't do Chalitza. Veloi Chotzen Le'ishtai, he can't do Chalitza to his wife. Loi Miyabim, he can't do Yibum. Veloi Miyabim Le'ishtai, he can't do Yibum to his wife either. Now, why can't you do Chalitza? So the Gemara is going to say in Daf Yutes Amud Beis, the reason that he can't do Chalitza is because it's a Bezayin. Chalitza was a Dover Shel Bezayin. The woman, the Yavama, would spit at the Chalitz, so it was considered to be a Dover Shel Bezayin. And being that, we'll see more right about that tomorrow, but being that it's a Dover Shel Bezayin, it's for that reason, tomorrow. So it's a Dover Shel Bezayin, and being that it's a Dover Shel Bezayin, that's the reason that he's not allowed to do Chalitza. So I understand why he can't do Chalitza. He can't do Chalitza because it's a Bezayin. He's a Melech. Melech Shemachal, Kfeide and Kfeide Machal. He can't do Chalitza. But what about Yibum? Why can't he do Yibum? So Rashi, and this Rashi is on Daf Yutes Amud Beis, but it's Shayach Le'il. It says on the side, really, this Rashi was supposed to be on the Mishnah. Rashi said the reason that the Melech can't do Yibum is V'Yibum G'nai Hu Loi Lokum Al Shem Achir. Unbelievable. Because what's the purpose of Yibum? Have a child with your brother's wife, and through you, your brother's going to have a Hemshach. He's the Melech. The Melech over here is going, and he's going to be like the Mokim, the relief. That doesn't make sense. So for him to go ahead and to be Miyabim is also somewhat Eino Lefich Voidei. That's why he can't do Yibam. So Chalitza, we understand. Yibam is a little bit of a more subtle Svara. But either way, that's what Rashi says. If you take a look at the Bar Tanura, the Rav Bar Tanura on this Mishnah, the Rav Bar Tanura says a different shot. He says the reason the Melech can't do Chalitza is because G'nai Hu Lo Shayach Lo. It's the Yarka Bafonov, just to spit at him. It's a Bezoyin to spit at the Melech. What about Yibum? Zokt the Heiliger Rav, V'chol She'ein Abas Chalitza, Ein Abas Yibum. Once she can't do Chalitza, she can't do Yibam either. Because if you can't do Chalitza, oh, the Mele, you can't do Yibam either. The car to this
Rav Bar Kanura is the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis. The Rambam right here in Pirush HaMishnayis says what the Rav is quoting, and that is that the reason the Melech can't do Yibam, it's not because it's a bezoyim for him to be the one that's going to make sure that his brother's not forgotten. Why is that a bezoyim? That's not the point. The point is because he can't do Chalitza, because the Yarkub of Fanav is definitely a bezoyim. The Kol She'ena Oilu L'Chalitza Eina Oilu Yibam. Frank the Taisus Yontif. Where in the world did the Rav get this? He said, I learned Masech this Yavam is backwards and forwards, and I know it's axiomatic throughout Yavamis, that kol she'ein oilu l'yibum, ein oilu l'chalitza. Everyone knows that. That wherever there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. There's a few exceptions to the rule, right? Sometimes the halach is chaylesis v'lemis yabemis, but you always have to understand it. It's a gemara's kasha, Yavamis, taf chafam aleph. How could you ever have chaylesis v'lemis yabemis? Why don't you say kol she'ein oilu l'yibum, ein oilu l'chalitza? But really, what's the rule? Kol she'ein oilu l'yibum, ein oilu l'chalitza. But in the reverse, we'd never see that in the reverse. That kol she'ein oilu l'chalitza, ein oilu l'yibum, says the Tosfos Yontif, I never heard of such a thing. It's a tremendous chiddush. What I think pshat in this halacha is what Rashi said. Not that once you can't do chalitza memelu, you can't do yibum. But there's a svara why the melech shouldn't be able to do yibum, because it's a bezoyim for him to be the one to make sure that his brother's not forgotten. Frek Rav Kiveger and Tosfos Yom Kippurim, Tosfos Yontif. You learned Gantz Masechtas Yevamis, but I think you're forgetting a Tosfos. It's a mefurish a Tosfos Yevamis Daf Mem Dalid Amid Aleph. The Gemara over there brings this halacha: Kol she oylo yibum oylo lechalitza, v'chol she ein oylo yibum ein oylo lechalitza. V'im toy mafrek Tosfos. Tosfos says I have one kash on this yisoid. Vary cheresh. The chereshes. Cheresh in the Torah is always an eno shemeya, the eno medaber. The enon oilam lechalitza, where the aloch is that they're not oilam lechalitza, the oilam leyibum. The aloch is that a cheresh could do yibum, but a cheresh can't do chalitza. The Gemara says the reason a cheresh can't do chalitza is because part of chalitza involves talking, va'omar, va'omra. A cheresh, chereshes, they both can't talk. Being that they can't talk, they're excluded from the parish of Chalitza. But Yibum doesn't involve talking, so they can do Yibum. So they do Yibum, they don't do Chalitza. So Freik Toises Akasha, that if you're telling me there's a Yisoid, that Kol She'ein Oilu L'Yibum, Ein Oilu L'Chalitza, then L'Chayra, how do you understand the cheresh, and the chereshes, that they do Yibum, and they don't do Chalitza? Freik Rav Kiveger, what's the Kasha? All the Gemara said was Kol She'ein Oilu L'Yibum, Ein Oilu L'Chalitza. The cheresh is the reverse. The cheresh is Ein Oilu L'Chalitza. Elamai, what did Tosfos understand? That there's no difference. And if Kol She'ein Oilu L'Yibum, Ein Oilu L'Chalitza, then Kol She'ein Oilu L'Chalitza, Ein Oilu L'Yibum. And that was Tosfos Kasha by cheresh. So what's right to Tosfos Yontif on the Rav Bar Tanura? And on the Rambam of the Pirush HaMishnayis, who were mefarish, that the reason the Melech is Le'miyabe is because he's like chaylitz. Because once you're like chaylitz, memeila you're like miyabim. Because kol she'enoy lechalitza enoy leyibum. Frank the Tosfos Yontif. I know the Gemara says kol she'enoy leyibum enoy lechalitza. But mecha teisa kol she'enoy lechalitza enoy leyibum. Frank from Kiveger to Mefurisha Tosfos. Because Tosfos has the cash on the Gemara. That what's pshat cheresh and so what's the teretz? So says Kiveger. The emphasis. If you look at Tosfos, Tosfos answered this kasha. That you want to know why it's not a kasha that the cheresh could have a din yibum and not chalitza. Hasam b'nei chalitza ninu, ela de pumayahu de kavlohu. Kol she'ena oilu l'yibum means that you don't have a din yibum. You are mufka be'etzem from being able to do yibum. The lum this is because in order to do yibum there has to be zika, and kol she'ena oilu l'yibum means there's no zika for yibum. What that means, I'm Sachtas Yivamas. But the point is that kol she'ena oilu l'yibum means where there's something fundamentally wrong with this bond between the Yavam and the Yavama, and it's for that reason it's so challenged that you can't do Yibam. The same would be true in the reverse. If there was something fundamentally flawed with this Zika, to the point that you can't do a Chalitza, you'd say, Kol She'ein Oilu L'Chalitza, Ein Oilu Yibam. But the reason that a Cheresh can't do Chalitza is not because there's a fundamental flaw in the Zika. There's nothing wrong with the Zika. The Zika is a Zika. The problem is, a Kenesh read it. Pumei the cup. It's like his tooth was hurting. If his mouth was hurting and he couldn't talk, would that be a svara to say, Kol She'ein Oilu L'Chalitza? A Cheresh is someone whose tooth is always hurting, whose mouth is always hurting. He's not able to utter the words of Chalitza. But the Chesaron is not in the Zika. And being that the Chesaron is not in the Zika, it doesn't pass to say, Kol she'ein oilu l'chalitza ein leyibum. Meaning it's true, kol she'ein oilu ein l'chalitza. And may high time and kol she'ein oilu l'chalitza, and it's the flip side of the same coin. There's no reason it shouldn't be that way. But it has to be a real ein oilu l'yibum. It has to be a real ein oilu l'chalitza. How do you define ein oilu l'yibum? How do you define ein oilu chalitza? It means there's a flaw in the Zika. Oh, there's no flaw in the Zika. Punk, the Cheresh can't talk. Punk, the Cheresh can't talk. Zok Rav Kiveger, the same would be true by the Melech. The Melech
Why can't he do chalitza? Because there's a fundamental flaw in the zika? No. Because it's einol lefich vaydai. But there's nothing wrong with it. That's not einol chalitza. I mean that's not einol chalitza. It's not a svar. That should be einol ibum. So zokrab kivega tatsyant. That's the kasha on the Rav and the Rambam and the Pirush of Mishnayos. I never heard of such a thing. I never heard of kosher einol chalitza einol ibum. I heard of it in the reverse. Zokrab kivega. That's a tois. That's a mafurish a toisves. Toisves b'yavamis mem dalam and al. But at the same time, zokrab kivega, I have a kasha on the Rav Bartanura. I have a kasha on the Rambam and the Pirush of Mishnayos because they want to stoltzu this halacha. They want to stoltzu this halacha of kosher einol chalitza. Just like Tosfos said, the cheresh and chareshes is not a tzushta. Because there's nothing fundamentally flawed with the zika where you could say they're not oyla l'chalitza. They are oyla l'chalitza. Narvas, pumehu dekoivle. The same thing is true over here. It's only a pumehu dekoivle. So it's for that reason, says Reb Kivager, I'm not sure. I agree. Rashi had an upshat. I mean, it could be Rashi also agreed kosher in oyla l'chalitza in oyla yivam. Like Tosfos said, but Tosfos teretz over there in Yevamos. Rav Dal and Alf would be a svara. Why you wouldn't be able to say kosher in oyla l'chalitza in oyla yivam here either. And just one final item. And that is, so going back to the melech again. So the melech is much more complicated when it comes to Yibum. He's loy choyletz v'loy choltzen li'ishtoy. He can't be miyabim. He can't. So loy choyletz, why not? Because it's ain't l'fi chvayda v'yarku b'fanav. Why can't he do Yibum? So that we just said. Either because kol she'en o'il chalitza o'il Yibum, or the reason he can't do Yibum is because it's a bezoyim for him to be the one who's going to make sure that his brother's name isn't forgotten. Loy choltzen li'ishtoy v'loy miyabim li'ishtoy. Why can't he be miyabim his wife? That's very simple. He can't marry his almana. So if you can't marry his almana, you can't do Yibum. Why can't you be Choylitz's wife? Said as a Rashi. Rashi, again, which is supposed to be in our Mishnah, said three words. Mipnesha asurali nase. Hear this, Rashi? Rashi says, you know why you don't do Chalitza? Because what's the purpose of Chalitza? The purpose of Chalitza is to allow this Yavama to be able to get married. But she anyways can't get married because she's the Amon of a Melech. And the Amon of a Melech can't get married. So what's the point in doing Chalitza? Chalitza is like a get. It's like giving a woman a divorce. What's the point in giving her a divorce? She should get married to somebody else. But if she anyways can't get married to somebody else, then there's no point in the Chalitza. So you know why you don't do Chalitza? Because she anyways can't get married. So you're not accomplishing anything with the Chalitza. The whole purpose of the Chalitza would be knock out the Zika. So now she should be able to get married. But she anyways can't get married. If she anyways can't get married, there's no reason to do Chalitza. I think a very obvious tzushtel to this Rashi is the Chacham Tzvi in the Shailos Tshuva Siman Aleph, the very first Chacham Tzvi, where the Chacham Tzvi clears the Shailah. Chacham Tzvi cleared, is Chalitza a mitzvah saseh? Or is Chalitza not a mitzvah saseh? I mean, that's Pashat. Chalitza operates in a very similar vein to Gerushin. Right, remember we spoke at the night of Yehuda on that base from the first year of Masechta Sanhedrin. We spoke about Miyun, that's Kein Dairais, is it Kein Gerushin, is it Kein Chalitza? Because Chalitza and Gerushin are very similar. Gerushin knocks out a marriage, Chalitza knocks out a Zika. There's a Zika between the Yavam and the Yavama, and what Chalitza does is it knocks out that Zika. So Chalitza definitely is a hakuna. It's like a get. It's something in the realm of kinyanim for sure. The question is it also a mitzvah saseh? It's a parak called mitzvah chalitza, but Chamsi says that's not mucha that it's a mitzvah saseh. Is it a mitzvah saseh or is it not a mitzvah saseh? L'mayin afkamino. So for example, mitzvah shrichas kavana. Mitzvah shrichas kavana. Are you going to have the din mitzvah shrichas kavana or you're not going to have the din mitzvah shrichas kavana? I'll tell you something geshmak. One of the rayas that Chamsi brings is from a toisvis and parak mitzvah chalitza, daf kuf dalad amid beis. The Gemara over there says that a katan and a ketana cannot do chalitza. Because it says ish and isha respectively in the parasha. And being that it says ish v'isha, it's for that reason that a katan and a ketana cannot do chalitza. Feita is akasha. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that a katan and a ketana can't do chalitza? The Gemara said that b'shas chalitza, the Yavam and the Yavama respectively had to have das. They had to have das. They didn't know what they were doing. If they didn't know what they were doing, the Chalitza is not a good Chalitza. That means Chalitza fathers das. If Chalitza fathers das, and a Katan is not a bar das, so why do I need a Pasuk to tell me that a Katan and a Katana can't do Chalitza? It's Pashut that a Katan and a Katana can't do Chalitza. The reason they can't do Chalitza is because they're not Pnei das. So why do I need a Pasuk? Freit Chacham Tzvi, I'll ask you a Gevaldig Akasha. Katana, is that so Pashut that a ketana is not a bas das, and because of the fact she's not a bas das, she shouldn't be able to do chalitza? We know that a katan, who's of the age of pe'utos, this is the gift that keeps on giving, a katan that's of the age of pe'utos, old enough to understand some things, b'das acheres matna, toisa shita is, has kinyanim deiraisa. Now, if chalitza is a kinyan, who's the matna? The chalitz. Who is the acquirer, the koina? That's the issue. So l'chayra, I'll tell you why you need a pasuk for eitach chacham tzvi. You know why you need a pasuk? If you have a ketana that is of the age of peutos, and the chaylitz is a gadol, he could do chalitza, and she could be koina herself bedas acheres makna. How could she be koina herself bedas acheres makna? Because bedas acheres makna peutos akoina even when they rise. So it's shita throughout shas. So what's freik toisvis? Why do I need a pasuk? That's why I need a pasuk. I need a pasuk for a ketana who's peutos. Who bedas acheres makna could be koina. Zokta chachat tzvi, that would only work if the whole din das that you have to have in order to do chalitza is because it's a kinyan, and every kinyan needs das. So then you'll tell me, pa'utois, bedas acheres makna, you have a toisvis, and in Mesechtes Gittin, and another place in Shas, you have it all worked out. But if you're going to tell me chalitza is a mitzvah, there's another reason you need das. Because mitzvahs, tzrichas kavana, says the chantzvi according to most poiskim. So mitzvahs, tzrichas kavana, you need das chalitza to have, be able to recaim the mitzvah. And if you're not recaim the mitzvah, l'chayr isn't shkein chalitza. So, it's very good. So that even if you're pe'utois, and you have das acheres makna, that just means the koine doesn't have to have das. The kinyan can be mechal with the das makna, so everything is going to be fine. But if there's a new mechayiv, what's the mechayiv? The mechayiv is mitzvah shrichas kavano, that's not going to help me that you're pe'utois, it's not going to help me that you're das acheres makna. So l'chayr from the fact that Tosis asked the kasha, and Tosis didn't say that it could be I need the pasuk al koponim by ketana for a case where she's pe'utais, but that's a cheres makna, because it could be tais herself that you need more dance than that, because chalitza is a mitzvah. And if it's a mitzvah, you have to have mitzvah tzrichas kavana, and that's a cheres makna is not going to help you for mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. Another raya that he throws into the mix, and that is that we know the halacha is that an oinein is potter min ha-mitzvahs. An oinein is potter from all mitzvahs. That's the halacha of an oinein. And if an oinein is potter min ha-mitzvahs, it should come out that an oinein wouldn't be able to do chalitza. Okay, so Oinim can't do chalitza. Why do I care? He says, I'll tell you why I care. Because we know the Gemara says that in order for someone to be chayiv in Yibum, it has to be that b'shas nefilas Yibum, there was a chi of Yibum. But if there was no din Yibum, b'shas nefilas Yibum, it's what's known in Mesechtes Yivam, it says Nesra. Kiven she Nesra shov achas, then shov enich, right? At that point, there's never going to be a din Yibum. It's a freik, the chacham tzvi, a charifos. He says that if chalitza and Yibum, for that matter, are mitzvahs, so why don't we say that at the moment that the brother dies, the achames is anointed. It's his brother. So he's anointed. If he's anointed, he can't do Yibum. He also can't do chalitza. Because you'll tell me, maybe Yibum he can't do, he can do chalitza, but if chalitza is a mitzvah, he can't do Yibum in chalitza. Once he can't do Yibum in chalitza, say Nesra. Say, being that I couldn't do Yibum in chalitza at the moment of that, maybe I'm parted from doing Yibum in chalitza at all. Elamai wants to say it's not a mitzvah. But Al Kopanim, that's a Chamtzvi Chakira. His Chakira is chalitza a mitzvah, or is chalitza a Knob Alma, the Main Afkamina, the Das Kinyan, is it Das Kinyan, or maybe it's only Mitzvah Shrikas Gavana. I think this Rashi is a Mefurish Araya. Rashi says that, you know, I didn't do chalitza to the Melech's wife. Yeah. You know why? Because Mnei Shasru, she's anyways also to get married. So bishloima, if chalitza is not a mitzvah saseh, all chalitza is a hakna. It's like a get. Here's your get. You can go get married. So okay, there's no reason to do chalitza with the alman of a melech, because she anyways is not allowed to get married. But if chalitza is a mitzvah, then of course you should do the chalitza. You know why you should do the chalitza? It's a mitzvah saseh. It's a regular mitzvah saseh. Why shouldn't you do the mitzvah saseh? So bishloima, if the whole matara of the chalitza is a haknob alma. So it's a good svar. She anyways can't get married. If she can't get married, what's the point of doing the chalitza? But if you can tell me chalitza is a mitzvah, I say like one side and the chacham tzvi chakira, then I think that'd be a very good reason to do chalitza. Either way, we'll pick up a lot more geshmak array tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to see some Novi, David HaMelech, Shaul HaMelech, Michal Bashol, Meirav Bashol, some festa gemaras, and some festa